The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.' So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both their boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." You may be seated. I mentioned last week that during this Trinity season, we have different readings about our new life in Christ, our new life, and we hear things about who we are as God's people, as the church. And here in this gospel reading today, we hear some things about how God operates, how he works, and who we are as his people, the church. And one of the things that we see in this gospel reading that just jumps out to us is that God doesn't trick people. He doesn't use that old bait and switch method, either where you lure somebody in and then once you've got them, you pull the old gotcha and exchange it so that what they thought they were getting has now become something else. God doesn't do that because that's lying. That deceives people. God doesn't trick people. But what God does do is he catches them. The Lord catches people and he pulls them in like fish in a net pulled into a boat against their will. The reason why God does this is because this is how he saves us, how he saves sinners, sinners whose wills are opposed to him. Sinners would rather be swimming in the opposite direction, going content along their happy way, rather than be caught in a net. And so God knows this. He knows this all too well. So God throws out his net and works a miracle. He brings in fish who otherwise would be swimming against his boat, and the Lord gives them a new place to dwell and to live. But you see, when he does this, a death occurs. A fish out of water dies, and a sinner who has been caught and dragged out of the fallen world dies. But here's the thing about God. God gives new life. He gives a new heart. He gives a right spirit. He breathes into the person the breath of life. So God doesn't trick people. He saves people. And that's what you see in the gospel reading today as the people gathered around to hear God's word. St. Luke tells us, on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." So here Simon had been hearing the teaching of the Lord. The Lord had sat, he was sitting down, he was teaching them. He had been hearing him preach and teach. And then Simon learned firsthand as the Lord called to him to let down his nets. Simon, who was a fisherman, yet this stranger comes up to him and tells him how to fish. So Simon knows how things must be done in the real world. He knows what works to get fish. But how is that working for him this past night? Well, he says, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." So instead of relying on his own experience and his own efforts, he listened to the word of Jesus. He followed as the Lord directed. And what happened? And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both their nets so that they began to sink. God provided. He worked a miracle, and he provided in abundance. He worked a miracle according to the means he told Simon would be the case. God was in charge. He was working according to how he said he would do things. But I mean, isn't that it? What if Peter didn't want it to be this way? Because what Jesus said is so ordinary. It's not exciting. It sounds foolish. They'd been toiling all night. They had already been casting their nets. But God calls us to trust his word. God works through his word, read, taught, and preached. But our sinful man doesn't always like that. We think, what if I don't want that to be the case? What if I want something else? What if I want something different? Something more enticing, more exciting? Because I think maybe my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, that doesn't really appeal to them. I think we need to try something else. We need to search and find something more appealing, more relevant, relevant, more like we want it to be. But remember, God doesn't trick people. God doesn't play the game of thinking he has to sell himself to appeal to us. God doesn't work according to our ways and our understandings. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And remember, God catches people. And he is the one who kills to make alive. He doesn't answer to man, and man is not his counselor. And so trusting God's word doesn't come by our own reason or strength. Since the fall into sin, we've lost that aspect of God's image, where we trust and love God completely. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Our ways, our methods, our wisdom we may concoct for ourselves, we like to think are good and true. But this is where God breaks us through his law. It crushes us like a hammer. It calls us to look outside of ourselves and to seek our own thoughts and ways and turn from God's word is the real foolishness, and that's what leads to death. No, instead, God calls us to completely trust and depend on what he says to us in the Holy Scriptures. For they are the words of eternal life. They are the words that endure forever. And so it's God then who speaks. God who works this faith to turn us toward him and trust his word. And so in this reading today, then Simon spoke great words of faith. Listen again to what St. Luke recorded. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." So this miracle of so many fish pointed Simon to Jesus, who spoke those words to him and worked this great catch of fish, and he and his partners, they were unable to achieve. Jesus was teaching them and us something in this whole encounter. And it's no wonder then how Simon Peter responded. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So as we consider this for our lives and who we are as the church, we see the church is brought about by the word of God. Without God's word, there is no church. The command of Jesus to put out the into the deep and let down your nets for a catch is a call for the word of God to be preached faithfully and fully into the deepest depths of the world. This is how God works. The frustrating thing for us is that it takes the work out of our hands. Our responsibility to preach this word and confess this faith, but to create the faith, to grow the church, that's what God does. He's the one who does it. And it's frustrating, too, because we look around and we see rejection. We see this in the lives of dear people we love, our friends, our neighbors, and we get frustrated. But God calls us to trust him at his word. We heard in that epistle reading today, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." So when we are tempted to doubt God's word, when we're tempted to change his word, to reject his word, or do any other things to it to make it more palpable to our sinful palates, if God's word offends us, if the cross offends us, the problem lies not with God, but with us. And so God doesn't trick people. God catches people. God kills to make alive. And God has caught you. He's redeemed you. Jesus himself said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. God indeed has claimed you as his own. He has given you a new life, and this is who you are then in the church of God. One of the ancient greetings of the early church, especially in the areas of the persecution, you've heard many times before, was the image of a fish. That they would draw one image of it, and then if they were talking to a Christian, they would draw the other image. And it was an early creed, ichthus, the word for fish in Greek, means Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. It's an acrostic. So what does this all mean? Be content, find peace in the word of God. And there are those times when God will be stretching you, testing you, or giving you crosses to bear because of being faithful to his word. And you do so as people who have his word and are called by name in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus called the apostles to be fishers of men. You don't have that same call and vocation, but you, as the church, have the same word of God given to you. God calls you to be hearers of his word. He calls his church to proclaim this word and be faithful. And so the net goes out. The word is preached. And the consolation and peace come when you stop worrying about things, stop being anxious, and start trusting those promises of God that he has made to you in Christ. It's when you have the heart of Peter in the reading when he said, "At your word." Or think of Mary when Gabriel appeared to her and she said, "Let it be to me according to your word," when she was told she was going to conceive in her womb and bear the Savior. For you together as the church share this promise, that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against you. Does this mean the church won't get smaller in this world? No, it doesn't mean that. Nor does it mean that numerical growth will occur when you want it to happen. Simon, James, and John toiled all night, remember? But it's only after they had God's word did they have the great catch of fish. So God calls you to be faithful. He calls you to fight the good fight of faith. He calls you to be a city set on a hill, to be salt and light in the world. You are called to always confess the faith in all times and in all places. God calls you to do that and to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. So be students of his word. Be disciples. You need to know the scriptures. There's no excuse for not hearing the word of God and reading his word. But know that it doesn't depend on you. You are not burdened to preserve the church. She is the bride of Christ. He has bought her with the price of his own blood. He has ransomed you, and he will guard and keep you safe in his arms, even unto life everlasting. Your sin is forgiven, and you have eternal life. And Jesus came for this purpose, and he came for this purpose of preaching. Earlier in Luke 4:43, which is the previous chapter, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And Jesus preaches to you. The Lord will take care of his people. He will take care of you. And so you rest easy in those words of God. And your Lord is Jesus, who worked that miraculous catch of fish for these fishermen. He is the Lord who said in John 6, "No one can come to me unless the Father who draws me, or sent me, draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And that similar language, fishing language in that passage, that Jesus has dragged you into the ark of the church like a fisherman drags a net full of fish into a boat. His net, his word, has caught you. Your Lord has done this, and he promises that he will not let you go. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. And so even though the boat be tossed by the seas, Jesus promises you the other side is near. He's the one who can calm the storms by simply saying, "Peace, be still." And even as the church suffers, even as the church bears the cross in this world, Jesus is the Lord. He's the crucified one. He's the one who has risen from the grave. And Jesus sharpens you in this life as the church. Through these times, you learn to trust more clearly and firmly that word. When you see that you've toiled all night and you've caught nothing, the Lord answers your prayers with, "Listen to my word and have life." The voice of faith is a confession of, "At your word," spoken by Simon Peter, and echoes from the great saints of the Bible. So each day, repent of your sin and look to Christ who has redeemed you. God does not put those who believe in him to shame. He will not put you to shame. Rest in his word that promises you have eternal life. Know that your sin is forgiven. Know that he has called you by name and baptism, and know that you are his even unto life everlasting. And as his people together, find solace in the church that is eternal and will not be overcome. When times of trial and hardship come and everything seems hopeless, cling even more to the Lord who is your anchor, who keeps you from being tossed here and there, back and forth, by all passing fads, by all false teachings that itching ears want to hear. But all the while, too, as God's people look to the horizon, know what is coming. The Lord is returning, and he will take you to himself. And on that day, all toil will be gone. All doubts will be gone. All struggles will be gone. All sin will be gone. All death will be gone. That day will be the glorious day, without compare, when the fishing, when the work is over, and it's time to eat at the feast. Then let us follow Christ our Lord and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to his word and suffering be undaunted. For those who bear the battle strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.